This was prophesied that all the blind would see and the lame would walk. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, the first five verses. It came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and preach in the cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples. And he said to him, and they said to Jesus, "Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another?" What was John the Baptist looking for? The arrival of the God of the universe and the God of Israel. He came to witness his arrival. He even jumped in his mother's womb when Jesus' name was mentioned by Mary. But they came and sent these two men. Are you the one, or do we look for another? You know what Jesus told him? He just said, "Go and show John those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Well, isn't that exactly what Isaiah prophesied that the God of Israel would do when he came? And Jesus told John's disciples, "Just go back and tell John what I've done. He'll know. He knows the scriptures. He knows what Isaiah prophesied. John will know who I am." Very simple, the way Jesus put it. So now let's turn to the book of Exodus. Well, what are we doing in the book of Exodus? Goodness sakes, the clergy tell you, you've got nothing to do with that. I'm going to show you how you do have everything to do with it. And this next Sunday that you celebrate has everything to do with it. In chapter 12, the first six verses, Yahweh God spoke to Moses. And you know what I was doing to show you how much is in this book? In preparing sermons, you learn a lot more than the average person who just reads the book. And we prepare every Sunday's sermon at our church in Glendale just like this. And I found in the New Testament, after 18 years in the ministry, something I hadn't seen, and I do it every time I prepare one. Moses, it says, didn't want to be called the son of the king Pharaoh's daughter because he didn't want to lose the esteem of Jesus Christ. Moses. Why, the clergy have told you Jesus Christ wasn't even here in the days of Moses. Then what did Moses fear the esteem of Jesus Christ for? And it's in the New Testament. It's in the book. Isn't that interesting? But Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Now I'm going to clear this up for you. He was speaking to your ancestors. "And this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." That was the Hebrew month Nisan. "Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them a lamb according to the house of their fathers. And of the household too little for the lamb, let his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of people there. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You'll take it from the sheep and from the goats, or from the goat. You'll keep it until the 14th day of this month, Nisan. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening," it says. Now just look at that. Do you know what that is? That's symbolic. You see, there's a lot of symbolic understanding to that Old Testament. That is prophesying an event to happen in the future. And I'm going to show you how it did. All the people of Israel would have taken a lamb on the 10th day of the Hebrew month Nisan. They were not to kill that lamb until the 14th day of the month Nisan, at the hour of the slaughter of the lambs, which was late in the afternoon or early evening. Now we turn to verse 41 to 46 in that same passage and find out some very interesting thing there. "In one house shall it be eaten. You shall not carry forth the flesh out of the house, and neither shall you break one bone of the lamb." So we have those conditions. 10th day of the Hebrew month, Nisan, the lamb was to be selected for slaughter. It was not to be killed until the 14th day of the month, Nisan, at the hour of the slaughter of the lambs, but not one bone of the lamb could be broken. Remember that. What does that have to do with next Sunday? Everything. I'll show you why. Let's turn here now into Mark in the New Testament. Chapter 11, 15 through 18. "And Jesus and his disciples, they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went to the temple." Now it says the temple, it doesn't say the synagogue. "And he began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he wouldn't suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves? The scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And it was on the fourth, the Mark and the New Testament records that was the 10th day of the Hebrew month Nisan, when the Jews decided to kill Jesus Christ. The lamb was selected for slaughter on the 10th day of the Hebrew month, Nisan. So now let's turn John to Book of John, chapter 19, verses 32 to 36. Then came the soldiers and broke the legs. This is after the crucifixion. They broke the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. You see, not one bone of the lamb was to be broken. And not one bone of Jesus Christ was broken. But they broke the bones of the others that were crucified with him. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bore a record, and his record is true, and he knows that he says truth, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture shall be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. Now, what scripture would be fulfilled? That not one bone of the lamb would be broken. The book of Exodus, of course. The same thing. And the 10th day of the month, Nisan, the same month, the same day, Jesus Christ was selected for slaughter. On the 14th day of the same month, Nisan, he was crucified. And not one bone was broken. Now, do you see the symbolic nature of the book of Exodus? And how they told you what was going to happen in the future? So let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Well, we've got some lumps in here. You must be in the Marine Corps and get a lump on your head. A lot of Christians need a lump. They're sound asleep. As you're in leaven, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. What did that say? Who is our Passover? That Bible says Jesus Christ is our Passover. Then we better be those people from the book of Exodus, hadn't we? Or we don't have a Passover. You see, those who Jesus said are liars and thieves, have stolen your inheritance. They've stolen more than that. They've stolen your government. All your wealth. Some stupid Christian the other day on the sidewalk was telling me about the persecuted Jews. I said, listen, the only Jew I know in Beverly Hills who's persecuted is one who has to wash his own Cadillac. Persecuted. They got all your money. They got your banking system. They got all your businesses. They've stolen everything you have. When are you going to wake up? God's chosen people? They're behind communism all over the world. Would God's chosen people be behind that? You know they couldn't even get a loan down here in Sylmar since the earthquake for their homes? But did you know just last month your congressman and your senate gave $1,500,000,000 to the schools in the state of Israel, including several hundred million to the Wiseman Institute? Your money, which manufactures the LSD that's being smuggled into here to be given to all your Christian children? You didn't know that, did you? No wonder you shouldn't pay an income tax. You're supporting your own slaughter. Unconstitutionally, too. Now let's go to John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 30. Verily I say to you, Jesus is speaking, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but what about the sheep? The sheep. But climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. This is a little bit of discrimination, isn't it? There's somebody that aren't his sheep here. Why would they be emphasizing this? A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This is about Christ's sheep, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This parable spoke Jesus to them, but they didn't understand. Then Jesus said to them, "Verily I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. You couldn't reach the Father in the celestial plains but through me, because I am the Father, and here I am walking in the flesh with you on the earth. I have left the celestial plains. I have taken on a body as you have, and here I am. So the only way you can reach the Father is through me, because I am the Father." Isn't that simple? And I'll show you how he says just what I told you. "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." Every religion, as they call them, other than Christianity, is false, Jesus said. All your ancient religions of India that people study and all of that, nonsense. It was started by Antichrist. Satan and Satan's kids. You think Satan doesn't have kids? You know, when the devil has kids, they're little devils. You got a lot of little devils running around your land. "Well, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Yes, it's only through Jesus Christ that you can obtain salvation, yes. "The thief comes not but for to steal and kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life." Who? The sheep. "And that they might have it more abundantly." You're not having it very abundantly, are you? You're paying all this welfare and you're getting robbed. But you should have it more abundantly. Why? Because you have allowed Christ to be put out of your government. "If I am the good shepherd," Jesus says, "the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that's a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep, and he flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep." Who are the hirelings? They're the preachers who are preaching for a living. A job. They're not called. It's just a job. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, and he doesn't care for the sheep. "I am the good shepherd and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Well, where were those other sheep? I can tell you two places they were. They were over here in the United States. The Israelites, who had come over long before Leif Erikson even. They had come across where the Atlantic sunk. It was solid ground into South America and built the civilizations of the white race down there that were destroyed by mongrelization. They were all over this land. And then about 400 years after Leif Erikson or more, the Queen of Spain was sending Columbus out to find a place to send those Jews out of Spain. And Columbus landed in some islands and says he discovered America. That's what they teach you in your school. And Columbus thought he was discovering India, so he called them Indians. Well, you know, Columbus didn't discover India. So why do they call them Indians? No. What we call an Indian in most of North America, from the Atlantic coast and all through, I can name a bunch of them, the civilized tribes, Cherokees and all of them, Creeks, are all Anglo-Saxon Israelite people who came over long before. And they have the Scandinavian descent in their language, and they had the great white father. They never worshipped idols. And they were Israel. And they came over long before. Yes, they haven't. Oh, maybe if you're a Mormon, you know it. But that's about what the only ones who do, I guess. "Well, as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father. Now these other sheep he has. Therefore, now, when you read in your New Testament, when Jesus uses the word my, the translators put that in there. The Hebrew had no personal pronouns in the language. So every time you read the word my, a personal pronoun, some translator put that in there. He had to, because it wasn't in the original language. Jesus never did say my Father. The translators did. So take it out. "Therefore does the Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Now listen to what Jesus says. He laid it down so he can take it. "No man takes it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again." His life. Jesus Christ, why did he have all that power? "This commandment have I received of the Father." Then there was a division amongst the Jews for these sayings. Many of them said, "He has a devil and he's mad. Why do you listen to him?" They'd probably say the same thing about me if they heard this sermon. Oh, others said, "These are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" You know, a lot of people don't realize Lazarus was dead 4 days and the body stunk. And Jesus said, "Rise, Lazarus," and Lazarus came back to life. Do you think a mortal man could do that? Oh, we're not thinking, are we? And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication, and it was winter. Oh, it was winter. And the month Nisan is the first month. And it was. So you see, it doesn't matter to me if we celebrate it in April. The Bible says it was in winter. So we have Easter in April. That's okay. We should have it every Sunday as far as I'm concerned. Christmas too. Every day is a day to worship our God. Every day. So let's not wait for these holidays. Well, Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then these Jews came around him. They said to him, "How long do you make us doubt? If you're Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus said, "I told you and you didn't believe me. The works that I do in the Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you." What did he say to those Jews? They're not his sheep. Who are his sheep? The house of Israel. They're not his sheep. They're not the house of Israel. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Nobody can take you away from Jesus Christ. Nobody. No preacher, no teacher, nobody can take you away from Jesus Christ if you're his. So what are they telling you to come up and get saved for? What are they saying he failed for? They're not teaching what Jesus said. They don't believe. "Now," he says, "the Father which gave them to me," and he's speaking about you, you're his sheep, "is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." How many preachers have read that? Jesus Christ said he and the Father are one. He is the Father. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Well, now, let's turn to Exodus again. Chapter 12, verse 14. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it." This is to Israel. "A feast to Yahweh throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And do you know what that is? Every time you go to church, and Easter Sunday especially, and you take communion service, you are witnessing that you are the people of the book of Exodus, and that it foretold and prophesied of the resurrection or crucifixion and resurrection of your God. And you're witnessing to that fact when you take communion service. That's the ordinance, and we all Christians take it, don't we? Yes, now let's turn to Matthew, chapter 26. Verses 26 through 28. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it. And he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, 'Take, eat this bread because this is my body.'" You see, the bread we take at communion is symbolic of the body of Jesus Christ. "Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them. He said, 'Drink all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins.'" So you see, as we follow through with an understanding of this book, put it together, as we study and search, we find that this coming Sunday, we are going to have that ordinance as a nation of people. Nobody can stop it. This nation, the United States of America, Scandinavia, Germany, Sweden, Italy, Denmark, France, Spain, all of the Christian nations are going to celebrate that ordinance, the coming and the fulfilling of the prophecy of the book of Exodus of the crucifixion and the resurrection of the God of Israel, the God of the universe. So as we go through these processes of understanding the scriptures, I'll close the Bible study part of it for that and let you continue with the tax rebellion meeting. But I would like to close with a blessing at this time. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, we ask thy blessings upon those who have gathered here in thy name. For where two or more gather in thy name, there art thou amongst them. We know that we are thy children, And we are thy offspring here to bring in thy kingdom. And we give thee thanks for allowing us to be here in these latter days so that we might do this job that you have sent us to do, to bring thy kingdom in and then occupy until thy coming again. So we ask this in thy name, Yahweh, our Yahshua, which is Jesus Christ, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one. Amen. Thank you.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride. But something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith? God above, if the Bible tells you so. Do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Well, I know that you're in love with him, 'cause I saw you dancing in the gym. You both kicked off your shoes. This'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone. But that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from you and me. King was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned. Now a verdict was returned, and while Lenin read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. The day the music died, be the day that I die. Helped a skelter in a summer swelter, the birds flew off with a fallout shell, 8 miles high and falling fast. Landed foul on the grass, the players tried for a forward pass, with the jester on the sidelines in a cast. Now the half while the sergeants played a marching tune, we all got up to dance. Oh, but we never got the chance. The players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. Do you recall what was revealed? The die. This will be the day that I die. Clenched in fists of rage, no angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell and explain the climb high into the night to light the sacrificial rite. I saw Satan laughing with delight today. The music died. He was singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy. I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken. And the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Christ is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, all one. Amen.
Amen.